I remember years ago when I was young, very, very young, I remember when I took, when I was first taken down in the dumb by that gray alien. When I was talking to the another gray alien when I was coming up, I remember I went to this camp in New Mexico, and what happened was that I was so infuriated that my mom took me to this, she jumped me out of this camp, this summer camp, and I had spent 2 weeks there. And it was that time when the Independence movie came out, the Independence Alien movie came out. And I said, I want to see that movie so bad because, you know, I was a nerd in high school and I wanted to watch Star Trek. And I want to say, okay, I want to see how this whole thing, this concept works. And then, so I went out of that camp. It's in New Mexico. It's near the, it's funny, it's kind of odd because it's near the Holloman Air Force Base down in southern New Mexico. Anyway, so I went, there's these bunks. So I went outside and went to, I went outside. This is close to Independence Day, July. Very hot. Inside the cabin was hot. So I came outside and I went out. When I went outside, I saw this gray alien walking toward me. And I wasn't scared. I knew what it was. And I said, why is that? I'm unable to watch this movie. He goes, you'll see a greater show in due time. You'll see a bigger, grander, greater show that than you ever see in your lifetime. And then I thought about what Timothy Alberino was saying about how these guys want to create weapons to kill God. That's exactly what scalar weapon technology is. It's where to break down the scalar technology is to break down the quark gluons, the strangelets at a subatomic level, because you can't go bigger, but you go smaller to rip apart all the strangelets and quark gluons. When you rip those things apart, then matter does not exist anymore, because what you have brought down, every atom, is what you call a strangelet. And strangelet is the most powerful particle known in the known universe. And according to some scholars, it says that strangelets are the ones who are actually the voice of God himself. That's where you have these things wrapped around everything around us that create matter to make things solid is strangelets.
The history of our Earth is so different from what we can imagine.
Enjoy the journey. The Smithsonian, and if they found out about a large skeleton somewhere, was to go get it.
I'm going to assume at least one person is right, because if one person's right, it busts the paradigm.
It all goes back to the fallen cherub. And the problem with the modern-day church, they have a very truncated view of the supernatural.
This backdrop that's just pregnant with all kinds of meaning associated with this Mount Hermon event.
And this guy defects from the kingdom. That's a big deal.
All right, welcome back to Blurry Creatures, and I think that today's episode is going to be a harder one for a lot of people. We did a members-only episode a while back where we brought Trent on, who at a young age was visited by entities and then kind of started going to college and prestigious universities, and then was taken down into the deep underground military bases. And some of the things he has to share are... I think on our podcast, we usually cover one topic and we fairly stay close to that topic, but every once in a while we get guests, and we just did an episode with some listeners of the show who had some satanic ritual abuse, kind of share some similar things. There's these times when we have these interviews and there's so much blurriness coming at us, we don't even know what to do with it. I mean, you think you do a show like this and you've heard it all, and we have heard a lot of things. But I don't think we always know exactly where to take the questions, how to expand our own paradigm in the middle of it, and consider some of these things happening in real time. I mean, sometimes that I think that's what Blurry Creatures does. It literally forces you in the moment to expand your paradigm as you're asking a question, and not just have a knee-jerk reaction of, ah, this is crazy, I gotta go. You know?
Yeah.
Much easier just to turn off the Zoom call and be like, this doesn't fit, so I'm out. But I think you kind of have to do that sometimes. I don't think every episode, but this one for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you've listened to the show at all, you know that our goal here, Nate, as always, is to provide a platform for people to have exposure to some of the blurry things that are out there, and then, you know, make up their own minds. This is not a place where we tell you how to think. This is not a place where we tell you what to believe. Nate and I come at this from, as always, come at this from a biblical perspective. We want to hold everything up to the text and, you know, spit out the bones, as we say sometimes. And sometimes, yeah, there are things that we talk about that are hard to listen to and hard to hear. It doesn't make any of them any less true, but it does make some conversations, even, you know, sitting behind this microphone and doing these, difficult. And I think if you weren't grounded in our faith and had our trust in the King of Kings and in a place where we know who's in charge and sits on the throne, right? Then these things could be really hard to digest, and they still are. And, but you know, as always, it's we're looking for better answers. We're trying to ask questions and get better answers mm-hmm. to the things that may not have a concrete answer, right? So,
yeah, be careful when you want a better answer. Sometimes you get too good of an answer. And yeah. You're like, oh, really? I liked it kind of in that. I liked just pondering it. I didn't like somebody actually putting a bow on my thoughts.
Yeah.
But one thing we do know between our episodes with Dr. Laura Sanger is, you know, she expands a lot of people's paradigms, and that the Kingdom of Darkness is not a PG-13 movie, right? And I think some people, they want a PG-13 enemy. I don't know what to tell those people. It's not the case. I mean, you go back to the Golden Age all the way through. I mean, this stuff is hidden. It's a lot more underground now. And literally in this episode, it is underground. And so do with it what you will. I think we just, Luke and I, try to be empathetic and sympathetic to people and their experiences, whether they've been ritually exposed to things or they've seen an entity. It's not easy to, like I said, expand your paradigm in the moment and be like, if that's possible, how do I ask this question based on what I just heard? So we treat people with respect. And I know a lot of people just, they're slapping their steering wheel and they're like, that can't be true. Come on. These guys are crazy. I got to turn it off. I don't know. Do with it what you will. I do think that the point of life is to learn and grow and change and find more room for what God could do in your life. So hopefully that's what these podcasts do. Like I said, there's no way for Luke and I to be at ground zero of all these stories and pour through the empirical data to make sure. We go on our gut. And I like yeah. Trent. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a smart guy. And would much rather be in a lab doing his thing, his doing his science, than talking to you guys. I mean, talking to us guys on this podcast. I really don't think he wants to talk about these things. He just feels called to do it. So,
yeah. No black helicopters this time. We're going to finish the conversation with Trent. Let's get him back on.
Okay. Before we start, could we pray?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
All right, then I'll start, and then, I'll just pray for the whole airwave thing, so that way you guys don't get canceled or anything like that. Very good, then. All right, Father God, in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, God, we come before you. God, we ask you to cover the equipment with the blood, that no evil penetrate. We bind up all electronic witchcraft, witches, and sorcerers. We bind them, we chain them, we cage them. Father, that every demonic force working with those people, working with government entities, working with government agencies, we bind them, we chain them, we cage them. Lord, put them to the cross in Jesus' name. And Father God, we ask you that we bind up, we ask you to send up mighty angels, Lord, to contend to do warfare on our behalf, to bind up retaliation, backlash, and retribution in Jesus' name. Father God, we ask you to cover Nate and Luke with the blood of Jesus, their household, Lord. Father God, nothing happens to them. No evil penetrate, Lord. Father God, we cancel all ley lines. We scramble every ley line out there, Lord, so that no one penetrate the ley lines. And we sever every silver cord made on and off the airwaves. And Father God, we ask you to cover the phone lines with the blood. and cover every equipment they have with a blood and Jesus. And in the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good stuff, dude. That's good stuff, man. I mean, you know, we usually pray here, Trent, before. It's cool to do it on, you know, with the guest. It doesn't always happen that way sometimes, but yeah, you know, we get a lot of, I mean, you know, you and I know, you know, this, there's, you get a lot of crazy opposition in this space, man. Like Nate and I were joking that, like, in the last week, one thing at both of our houses caught on fire, which is just strange. You know, there's just, so that's a long way of saying thank you for that, man. Thanks for doing that, man.
In this era of spiritual warfare, I mean, it coincides with electronic witchcraft. Most people don't understand that, but it does coincide with electronic witchcraft, especially when people say, oh, it really doesn't matter. It does, because, you know, they go through the airwaves, go through Wi-Fi, they go through electronic witchcraft. I mean, it's endless with those people.
Well, Trent, that was a great prayer. And once again, like, you know, I know we've talked on the phone couple times, and I appreciate it. For those who are listening, we did a bonus episode with you, kind of talk about some of these things, and I've called you several times just to talk, as just a person who wants to hear your story and learn, and really no reason other than that. And you've given me your time, and you've helped me and let me ask questions. But I think a lot of these episodes that we do with certain people who have, whether it's satanic ritual abuse or it's guys like Richie the Barber, who've kind of either they've peek behind the veil a little bit, or they've been hired to go behind the veil. Those stories are really hard for people to process and hear. And I know that yours was one of those. But obviously, no need to be nervous or anything. Luke and I are just two dummies asking questions. But you texted me and you were like, "What do you think we should talk about?" And I said, "You know, I think your story and everyone's story is very powerful. And I know that since a young age, you've been sort of thrust into this whole world that some people debate even exists, but I thought maybe it would be powerful for listeners to kind of just hear from, as much as you want to tell us, obviously, about kind of, you know, where you've come from and what you've seen and how it relates to the Blurryverse, and give people some context. And I appreciate you listening to the show too and texting me from time to time, like, that person's story checks out. That's legit. I like that, because sometimes Luke and I are like, we're going through a cave with an old rickety flashlight trying to figure out what is out there, and we don't know, we have no idea, like, and we trust people and we trust their stories, and I trust yours, and that's all we can really do sometimes, because, you know, we're not dealing with this stuff on a daily basis. So welcome back to Blurry Creatures. This is a long-winded intro, but maybe maybe just tell us about your childhood and leading up to, obviously, some of the things that we talked about on our last interview, which is like deep underground military bases and going down there and government programs and other things that were pretty heavy, some of those heavier topics.
And for the next 6 hours, please put a disclaimer out for your listeners that in case you do fall asleep, you know, to rewatch the show again. A lot of my friends have a very monotone voice, so when I talk, I do intentionally put people to sleep when I talk. So
I say it's soothing more than monotone, very soothing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But yes, let's continue on from where I left off last time, because last time I was hit with electronic witchcraft. I was hit with some kind of a pulse weapon, and it caused my heart rate to accelerate. It was very unnerving and made my whole body shake. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen the video of Angelica Merkel at one of the events. They hit her with some kind of a weapon, and her entire body was shaking throughout the entire interview she was doing. I was kind of in that similar situation. So, but when I was, going back to when I was young, I saw these alien beings, especially this one in particular, when I saw outside the window, when I saw into his eyes. His eyes were very large. When he talked to me, he showed me the things that were going to happen, the things that were going to take place. I kind of didn't understand what was going on, but later on, as my life progressed, there are certain things, certain gifts I possessed. I never really seen the movie or the TV series called Stranger Things. How some of these kids were given special abilities, certain abilities. And I just recently saw it, because I'm not really too keen on television, mostly reading books and doing my research. But one of them had some kind of kinetic telepathy, gift. In a way, I did have that when I was young. I remember staring through this one light bulb my mom and I getting ready for some kind of event. And what happened was that I kept staring at the bulb and I was like, I can't look at this anymore. The bulb burst. And then my mom goes, what did you do? I just looked at it. She goes, oh, shoot. I said, what? She goes, never mind. I said, she goes, let's go. So we left. We went to this one event thing. My mom was, we were going to. She was talking to one of her friends. And then later on, what happened was that I got introduced to this one program developer in my area. In our area, we used to have coal mines and different industries in our area. And I got met by this one guy. He pulled me aside in my school and he was saying, my mom, he says, your mom tells me you have a certain ability. I said, not really, I said. So,
how old are you when this is happening?
Hold on. I'm kind of reliving the experience, so it's kind of hard for me. I'm not trying to sound like kind of stupid.
No, you're fine.
So what happened was that I was probably about 8 years old. And then so when I got pulled aside and we were talking, and he said, can you do this? Can you do the same trick that you did for mom? I said, okay. So I did the same thing for him. Okay, well, let me go put you in this certain program. And I didn't know. It was like an after-school program. I wasn't at the school. It was at some other dormitory or building. And from that point on, I don't remember a lot of things that were in that thing because maybe I blocked it out. Mm-hmm. And that's when I began to understand what DID was, because that was a coping mechanism for me. I mean, I wasn't really schizophrenic or anything. Those things, it allowed me to detach in a certain way. But I still remember some of the experiments that were being done.
Do you want to kind of explain that? Like when people email us who've gone through SRA, that's one of the things, like they'll say, yeah, he or she has DID, or they don't have it. And
yeah.
I think we talked a little bit with Mike Heiser about how it's basically like your body's way of dealing with these traumatic experiences. You kind of develop a alternative, I don't know, personality, or I don't know much about it, but it comes up a lot on our show. Some people probably don't know what DID means.
DID is like a dissociative identity disorder. It's when you go through, that's something very traumatic, especially as a child, like a parent overly beats you or something, or you go through something like you're seeing a dead animal or you see an animal being killed. It causes your soul to split in a matter of speaking. It causes your soul to split. So when that soul split happens, one side of your personality becomes immune to that sort of trauma. The other side becomes normal. The normal side of you, but the other side becomes a coping mechanism to you. So that's how it's able to function when you go through these traumatic experiences.
Mm.
And SRA is a different. SRA is a completely different topic, and it's when you're actually going to a sex ritual and then they torture you in a cage, and then that causes your soul to split into multiple different personalities, and that's where those demons become attached to your soul.
Mm. Man. So if you're listening for the first time, obviously we're pretty deep in the woods here talking about some of these things. Trent, so let's recap. Your mom notices you have these abilities, and then apparently other people notice you have these abilities, and you start to go to some sort of after-school program to either develop these, or the government's kind of like seeing if they can use your gifts, and then that's where you were in the story.
Well, what happened was the way I began to understand it was that alien being I was telling you who's looking at me through the window, I saw him again. And he says, don't say anything, just be quiet. I said, okay. He was talking to me telepathically. And he said, I'm going to show you something that you need to see. And sure enough, we went to this watering hole, this pool or something. And he said, look into there. Okay. And he pushed me. I went into that pool of water. But when I fell into that pool of water, I was transported to a deep underground military base. And I came up where that being was, that praying mantis creature. And that's why. And when I came out of the pool, and he looked at me, he said, I've been waiting for you. And I said to him, why are you waiting for me? He said, well, you were chosen and selected. He said, I kind of chose you. But when he chose me, it's going to get kind of biblical here. So I don't want your listeners to become.
They're used to it.
Yeah, you're in the right place.
Okay, right. Yeah. He said that when God formed you from the very beginning, he already knew you. And then he said, when God spoke me into existence, he said that demonic spirit, was there are certain demonic spirits and spirits assigned to me to bring me into that position of where I was going to be at that present time. And so he just said, I'm going to visit you from time to time. But I asked myself, why is it that I'm going to be selected for this kind of program? And then he said, why does God choose people? Why does he select people? I said, I don't know. He said, well, then go back and find the answer and then come back to me. Essentially brought back to where I was. And
well, really quick, this pool of water, is it near your house? Did the alien being create that? Is it something that's happening in your mind? Or are you seeing a physical place?
It's a physical place, and the alien being created the water. He made a certain sound. Do you remember the old movie, the He-Man, Master of the Universe, the live action
one? It's been a while.
Yeah, He-Man, though. Yeah,
you're right. Remember it, Luke?
I don't really remember it, honestly. Yeah, no.
Luke loves He-Man's haircut. He really wants that.
He's got great lettuce. I mean, He-Man is 80s, so Trent, you are tracking. We got the Bible, we got the 80s. But I don't remember the live action film, to answer your question. I don't.
Well, in there's a certain sound that came out of that little synthesizer thing, and it opened up a portal, and that the way that portal looked like wavy water, that's exactly what it was.
Hmm.
Is it on the ground, or is it in, like, the air?
It was in the ground.
Like, horizontal?
It was like looking into a waiting pool, like a child's waiting pool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you dove in. He pushed you in it, you said?
Yeah, he pushed me into the water.
Wow.
And the water wasn't cold. It was just normal. And I appeared at that fallen angel song.
You know, we've talked a bit on the show about, you know, what our friend Tim Alberino calls an insectoin. Do you think it was demonic? Or do you think it was a fallen angel? Do you think it was something in the realm of that? Or do you think it was something else completely?
His name was Azazel. So yeah. He showed me his beginning and how his origins began and everything. So he just said that his job was to teach mankind how to do warfare. That's all he told me. He's been bound for the whole time.
These are the fallen angels that are imprisoned underground.
Yes.
Okay, so he said he showed you his history of his life or his origin. Can you go into a little bit of that real quick?
You mean as in his origins or what he told me?
Maybe what he told you in his origins, because that's we talk about this a lot on the show, but there's not a lot of information about the Watchers and these fallen angels and what they did. We just have like little fragments of like Enoch and the Book of Giants and other things. And people are trying to put together this ancient history. It'd just be interesting to kind of know what his story was.
Well, his story was that he was in heaven. His primary job was to actually build the foundations of the heavens. Metal, I guess, smithing. That's his job. That was his job, to build the foundations of heaven, build these everything out of metal, gold, silver, I mean, everything. And he made a metal he created and built.
Hey, if you want to listen to the rest of this episode, blurrycreatures.com/members, give me a little bit of a teaser. This is how we make the show happen. People sponsor the show. We spend a lot of time and hours editing and curating and finding these stories. So if you want to help support the show, blurrycreatures.com/members. Thank you.